Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Scoop Slam Radio. I am your host, Big Mike. I have my co-host, Lance the Bully. What's going on, Lance?
A lot of things are going on, man, but we'll start slow and take it how you're doing. I'm doing well. It's been a great Tuesday. It was a great Monday. Here we are now live at Scoop Slam Radio. I'm just so happy to be here. Thanks for having me once again.
And our producer extraordinaire, sir, how are you doing?
So very happy to be here, my friend. At least we were able to go at the time that we're supposed to go, because you remember last time we have a lot of problems. But I think today it's going to be a lot different. It's going to be almost a home run, my friend.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm glad both of you are here, because both of you have to answer for how you acted at our meet and greet last Saturday at Meet and Vino's. It was a wonderful time, everybody, until... Let me go to Bully first. Lance, what do you have to say about how that interaction between you and AJ went? Because let me tell you, brother, I was very surprised. I was shocked. What do you have to say for yourself, man?
What do I have to say for myself? I mean, the people can clearly watch the interview. They can hear the audio tapes. They know I did everything by the book, on the book, on the dot, as professional as I can be. The problem that wasn't documented, the things that were said behind cameras, was the way that this man, AJ Mana, disrespected me, my clique, and most importantly, being Warthog when he wanted to flaunt that LLW championship. It's not even supposed to be here. We're not even supposed to be talking about that. But AJ Mana knew that I was going to be here, so he showed up and antagonized me by bringing that Lucha Libre Alliance heavyweight championship belt, knowing damn well he stole that from one-third of the Beast of War. That's my buddy Warthog. And I, he can say all he wants. And then as soon as the cameras are on, he knew I was already heated. He knew that I was already shot. He wants to, I mean, I did everything I could. I'm as professional as can be. You know, I'm as professional as can be. I'm taking a deep breath. I'm calming down so I can calmly. I'm not yelling at my boss. I'm speaking to my boss. I remember that sometimes. You know, we're not on the same level. I'm sorry, sir. I know, you know, you're up there. I'm down here. But you know what I mean, sir? Like, I'm just doing the best I can. I've been interviewing people for almost 5 years now. And this guy is just one of the most unprofessional guys. He got under my skin. He was making fun of the fact that I wasn't there when the championship got taken from the Beast of War. It was not right. It was taken. He's right. It was taken from us. And then as soon as it's time for us to get an interview, what, he wants me to sit down and put on a smile on my face? I'm as professional as can be, but there's only so many buttons you can push before someone goes into overload. Can you agree with that at least?
Well, you know, I can agree, but, you know,
because that's all you got to do, just agree with that. And then you understand that what he did was unprofessional. What he did was not right. Let me ask you a question. Who poured water on who? Who got so hot and upset that they had to resort to physical violence like that? Because it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I'll tell you, I didn't splash water all over the nice equipment that we have for our audio. It wasn't me. So how can you look at me and say I was the unprofessional one when I'm sitting here in a nice suit with my hair slicked back to the side, doing everything I can to remain cordial, courteous, even though Rudo Ramp almost got into a whole conflict himself against the Chivo, but we'll talk about that later. But I didn't try to fight nobody. I didn't put no hands up. All I did was try to call a straight and honest interview, and the Samoan shooter just don't like me. That's his problem.
Well, speaking of that, you not getting into a fight, what's this relationship? And we'll talk with Venom Nuclear at 7:45. What's the relationship between you two? Because he grabbed you and threw you to the back, and he took over right there, and he stepped in for you. Is there something you're not telling everybody, man?
Well, it's common knowledge. You know, I'm great friends with Venom the Nuclear Warrior. We've been friends since way before our first show here at PWA when we were at Meet and Vinos originally. We got to bond even more. We've been friends for a couple of years before then. But, yeah, sitting there at Meet and Vino for the second time, I think Venom saw how much disrespect I was getting. And I think that AJ, as much as I'm the bully, listen real closely, everybody. Here it is. As much as I'm the bully, I think Venom saw that AJ was kind of puffing his chest out me. And I'm not a wrestler. I've said this for 5 years now because I get under a lot of people's skins. And it's like my little disclaimer. I'm not a wrestler. I don't jump in the ring. I'm not a stuntman. You know, I don't get physical. I'm here to talk, speak facts, speak truth, and I have open discussions and debates. So when AJ poured water on my head, I was upset, as any man would be. That's a $300
right.
suit. It's old school. It's clean cut. It's my own. And to have this man come over here and pour water on it, it doesn't fit anymore. It doesn't fit anymore. I almost ripped off my tie right then and there, and maybe I would have made a mistake. Maybe I would have made a regret. But you know what happened? Bainham stood up for me, and that man did what was right.
30 years. They gave him a watch, gave him the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time.
Damn right, Dusty Rhodes. We've been going through some hard times at me and Venus, man. I'm sitting here trying to do the best that I can be. You guys know I'm working for this promotion. You guys know I really want to work my way up the company ladder. And when you have hot-headed Samoans, that's right, hot-headed Samoans. It's not the first time anyone's ever said that. Don't think I'm making up new words. But a hot-headed Samoan wants to come at me. That is not cool. And I'm very grateful that I had Venom, the nuclear warrior, by my side that night.
Yeah.
Well,
I got him.
Hey, Rulo Ram.
Monday,
we have your nemesis. We have your nemesis coming up at 7:15.
Who cares?
You have?
Who
what,
cares?
What business?
Con este pinche máscara mugroso cabrón. He, first of all, my
what,
friend,
wait,
I'm sorry.
Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. What?
I just
what business
okay, Leha,
you
Lance,
have?
Lance is on hard times, my friend. Go ahead.
What business did you have stepping in the Kayam's interview like you did? I mean, that was bad. That was bad, man. That shouldn't have happened. You know that, right?
Okay, but first
that
because
was,
it was boring,
that was horrible.
And people were starting to fall asleep, so I had to do something. But before we get into that, when Lance says, you know, hey, I'm doing the best I can. It remind me of the song. You remember the song for Kenny Johnson, Olympic gold medalist? He have the video for that, and it still goes, I'm doing the best I ever can. Don't go away. That's what you remind me of that song right there, man. I was trying to look it up. I was trying to look up the song, and I got Dusty Rhodes hard times. I don't know what happened. Sometimes you push the button, nothing come out. But anyways, but in the defense of the Lance bully, Mike Leifert. You know, Lance, he Leifert. We don't know what happened. We turn around, the car is gone, nobody there. And AJ going crazy, hey, I'm the champion, and I need to have this, and I'm not paying $6 for the coffee, and quien sabe que quedan, hey, take it. I was like, take it easy, my friend, take it easy, or whatever. So he was already, you know, too much crazy that day, you know, but then he says, oh, no, I'm going to kill Lance, and I'm going to do this, and I go, no. I said, I don't think you're going to kill him. I think you're just going to make him a quad, you know, quadriplegic or whatever. And he said, so he was everybody mad, you know, Lance, hey, for the people listening, you know, to the PWA radio scoops, clams and everything. He have a nice suit, my friend. He was a, como se dice, the shark skin, verdad?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It was a shark skin. See, you got me talking like you.
Yeah.
It was a shark skin plum suit.
Shark. Yeah, and he threw the water on him. So anyway, it was crazy, you know. But although for the people from Meat and Vino, especially Alfonso, and even the Busher came out, you know, the Busher come out, but hey, what's
yeah.
all the luchadores? And he say, hey, can I take the pictures? Yeah. Okay, well, only little English, you know, me speaking. Yo le digo, hey, you know, contigo, ven, to take the picture with us. And in Spanish, he say, no, for real? And I say, yeah, come on. And he say, oh, este es mi dueño, my owner. And I said, ah, come on. So we take the picture, everybody happy, you know, no problem. And then it got crazy outside, man. You know, AJ throw the water. And then, you know, Kayam, he don't want to talk to me face to face. You know, he sit on one side, I sit on the other side, and, you know, back and forth and everything. And I says, hey, you know, con tu máscara mugroso or whatever. And, you know, he say, you fat to me and everything, everybody. So, you know, I say, hey, you know, you get, don't get crazy, man, you know, because I was about to beat him up in front of the Jehovah's Witness who came to take the picture. But since the Jehovah's Witness was there, I say, hey, I'm not gonna do nothing to nobody. And then Lance pushed me. Instead of pushing the Cayenne, he pushed me. So if you watch the video, I come back, hey, you know, don't no pushes or whatever. And then okay, I loosened my head or whatever. So everybody, people was too much crazy that day. Can no Lance?
Yes, sir. And just so you know, Mr. Rudaram, the only reason why I felt comfortable holding you back first is because I know you wouldn't strike me off instinct. When you deal with a dirty old man like I am, I don't know if I
yes.
touched him, you would have headbutt me right there. He's got that yes. goat head. He's hard-headed. I didn't want to deal with that. I figured if I got you out of the situation, maybe me and you can go over there, have a cigarette, calm down, smoke, you know, whatever we need to do.
Right.
But let these animals like AJ Mana and El Chivo, let them do their own thing and calm down, because they're the animals. They're the ones in the hot sun getting very angry at us for not doing nothing. They're always doing their job.
I agree 100%. But the big question for everybody is, Mike, what happened to you, man? We turn around, you're gone. Well, you make it set up and you put it in banner and everything. And then I turn around and you're gone. What happened?
I had to run home and pick up some important information.
Okay,
that's the life of a promoter.
Hey, I'm gonna say it was a success, because it was a lot of people came down to take the picture, and even the coffee house, they want the flyer, you know. So I take the flyer, and they say, oh, you know, I can't believe the luchadores are here and everything. So Mike, overall, big success, you know.
It was. I have to say, I wish more of the guys would have shown up, you know, but we had a great time, and we had some excitement going on with Lance and AJ and you and Guyam, and, you know, it was, we were supposed to be there, bro. It was supposed to happen. And I enjoyed myself. I laughed a whole lot. I did.
Of course you enjoyed yourself, Mr.
Chase
Park.
Me
you were gone for
the
majority.
You understand? I mean, they had to chase me around the hospital. You understand?
we thought you went to the hospital. I'm sorry. I pushed the button now. Go ahead.
Mr. Parks. Of course you had a good night, Mr. Parks. Of course you had a good time, Mr. Parks. You weren't there, Mr. Parks, when I had to pull apart wrestlers, when I got water dropped on me. Yeah, of course you were having a great time, and that's all the promoter life is, right? The promoter has all the good times, and it's the underlings that get splashed on or pushed on or talked down to by a dirty, angry Samoan. So I'm glad you had a good time.
that's why I put hard times for Lance.
Do I have to pull out my little violin for you?
Please don't pull on nothing.
I mean,
don't pull on nothing.
Are we crying?
No, not at all. I'm just, you know, when my 6-month review comes, when my 3-month review comes, when my 9-month review comes, when my year long review, whenever the review comes, these are just points of why I should be promoted and moved on up the ladder, because I deal with things that most people would have quit on already. That being threatened by a wrestler, having an outfit splashed on. I didn't get recompensated for any of that, but that's okay, because I know in the long run, this is going to be towards my glory, and AJ Mana will be nothing more than a bad memory 9 months down the line.
Ooh, see, that was big words right there, man. You know. Wait, you agree
with
what?
Of course you agree, because Kayam won't even be around in 6 months. Who knows, man? He's almost at the top of that hill. You know what happens here at the top of the hill, right, when you're a goat? I don't know. You tell me. that's fast violin music.
No,
right there.
The one time I got to wrestle the Cayam, it was years ago. It was a long time ago. I go to hit to put into the ring post. You know, I go, we outside, we fighting. I go to hit the face and the ring, bang. I see, but I was afraid that the false teeth were going to flying. So I know to run into the post.
Wow. speaking of Cayam. Rudo,
porque,
give him a call.
Porque son de los viejitos, güey.
Let's get him on the phone. Give him a call, Rudo.
Just for the record, my friend, Michael Parks, I put the call. to the Kayam, and I believe he is on the track phone, pay-as-you-go plan,
possible
burner phones, and he no pick up. So I send a message for with the number to call, and I put the call. So as soon as he come for to call, I put it for you. Okay, my friend?
Okay.
That's what happens when you have the Mexican doing the production.
Oh,
my God. Hey, I have a couple of messages if you want to go while we wait for the Kayam to call.
Sure.
Oh, I love the fan mail. What do you got, Rudo?
Oh, this one, I don't know. Wait a minute, please.
Oh.
Bueno, este es una luchador con una máscara mugroso.
Hey, this is Chivo Kayam. That's who I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone.
Rudo Ram guy again.
Hold on, Kayam. Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone right now is one half of the legendary Chivo Star team, and I'm so happy to have him on our show. This is Kayam. Kayam, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing very well, my friend. Thank you for having me on. I just hope we're not rudely interrupted by that Rudo Ram character. PWA doesn't need people like that, man. The PWA is a distinguished wrestling company that does not need the services of some whack guy named Rudo Ram.
You know, I got on him. I asked him, could he give me answers to why he stepped in on your interview time Saturday? And, he basically he told me that you shouldn't have been there. Is that right, Rudo Ram?
He's a nut. Rudo. He's a nut. That's it. Yeah, the guy's not well.
Did you cut off my mic, Miguel? Did you?
Hey,
if you ever cut off my mic again, Santa Magan, you're gonna have the problem, my friend. But no, hey, the Kayam, he is the one who come, he acting crazy, he sit down, he look at me, I'm the Chivo, and I'm the one who run the Southern California, quien sabe qué tanto, and I was like, trying to be like the gentleman, we're going to wrestle, whatever. So, when Kayam come acting crazy and look at me, everybody, I'm the champion, or quien sabe qué, I have to step up my A game, you know?
No, I think this guy is just delusional, Mike. I think this dude is belongs in a loony bin. Because this guy is just talks and talks and talks. But you know what? The good thing is that I have him in my radar, and I'm going to see him inside the ring very soon for PWA. And all that talking and all that nonsense goes out the window, man. Because we get down to the nitty gritty, which is lucha libre. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Let me tell you one thing, okay? And then I'm gonna leave it alone. And then we're gonna see what's gonna happen on the 18th, okay? On Friday night, the 18th, okay? In the city of the Stanton of the Leo Jiu-Jitsu, okay? First of all, I've been a training. No more burritos de cuerno de chivo, no more chicharrones and elote, no more. I put everything to the side, man. I training, getting ready for the luchas and the match. So we're going to be ready. I got Ariel in my corner. We got a good game plan. Okay, we're going to get rid of JBD, and then we're going to beat the heck out of the Kayam because he have it coming. He think, this guy, he know nothing, and I'm going to hit him with the maroma and quien sabe qué. So I'm going to make a statement right here. Okay, on this show right here, we have the Lance Winters, the bully from the Bully Zone. He managed super estrellas like the Warhawk, Red Spider Rudo, and people like that. So it would be an honor for me to have Lance the Bully in my corner. When we come out, I'm going to give him my bag. In my bag is the chains from the chain match. And if Kayam get out of hand and don't, because I'm coming to wrestle, hold to hold, and I'm going to show him, I'm going to put him in the submissions. But if he gets out of hand, we're going to get the chains, and then they're going to call me Baby Bruiser Brody. is what's going to happen if it gets out of hand. So, first of all, Lance, will you take the challenge of coming in the corner with us, my friend?
We haven't discussed this at all. This is just live right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's my first time hearing about this. I'm trying to remain as impartial as I can, Mr. Rudy. You know I'm trying not to get involved.
As we speak, and we have the Cayam with the Mascara Mugroso on the line with us right now on his track phone. Pay as you go track phone because he have no money from nobody. I have $14 in my waist pack as we speak. It is yours, my friend. If you want to come and be with us, man, no problem. Money, no object. I'm not like Cayam and Enigma, and you know, like that. I have a lot of money, my friend. So we're going to talk off the air. Cayam, I'm going to, as we speak, my friend, we it's going to happen, my friend. I for the first time in my career, I feel sorry for someone. Okay, so just all I have to say is be prepared.
Looking forward to it. I can't wait for Friday the 8th at Stanton to let you have it, Rudo Ram. Boy,
you might not
hablas
even
mucho, Rudo Ram, hablas mucho.
You might not even make it to the show because you have the Tony Reyes, who is about 400 pounds, you know, in the hair versus mask match. You might even lose your mask, and then you're going to have to wrestle me, no mask.
No Mugroso.
I'll worry about that. You don't worry about that. You worry about our match, right? You worry about the 18 because you've been getting under my skin, man. And so,
I will be there with balls on. And also, I am going to, believe it or not, my friend, I am going to buy the ticket. I am going to spend the whole $45 or however much the tickets are at the Lucha Libre Lines. I'm going to be there, my friend. And I'm going to watch you and see what's going to happen. So just be prepared. I'm not going to fight nobody. I'm going to come and check it out or whatever because I hope that Tony Reyes leaves a little bit for me so that I can finish you off. Y se acabó. This retirement for Cayam is going to be his last match. He's going to just sail off into the sun.
If that happens, that happens. Right, Rudo Ram? Worry about the 18th at PWA in Stanton on that Friday. You worry about that much. That match, that should be your only concern right now, okay? Don't worry about my other matches. Worry about your well-being on that day. Because when you walk out of that ring, you're going to be walking a little funny, let me tell you now.
I'm going to be ready, my friend. I'm a slim and ready 420 pounds. We ready for you, man.
You know what? That's what they all say.
Well, Bully, are you going to take him up on that? Are you gonna go? Are you gonna be in his corner? Because let's be honest now. Before we brought Cayam on, you had some choice words for him. You're not too happy with him at all yourself. So,
I was just explaining the situation that I had to pull them apart. I don't have any problems with Cayam. I don't have any problems with Rudo Ram. Like I said, Rudo Ram is kind of like a partner in crime because we both run the show together. So I have a little more bias towards him, but like I said, I'm trying to work on my biases. I'm trying to be a professional, stay down the middle. But at the same time, $14 is $14. So I might be putting in some extra work on the 18th. Like I said, I'm probably some force. I'm not going to jump into the match, but I wouldn't mind holding a bag of chains for $14, just say that. So I hope that doesn't disrespect you, Mr. Rudo Ram or Mr. Cayam, because, you know, I'm just a young, hungry talent looking to make a buck, you know what they say? You guys were there before.
I could see that, pal. But don't be conned by this guy. All right, this guy's a big con artist. He doesn't know what he's saying. Those $14 are probably not even in his pocket.
Rudo, are those $14 not in your pocket right now? I have to ask. Because we're friends and we can't have a friendship based off lies.
You know, I don't know what the hell is the problem, but Mike, he keep cutting my mic. I want to say something, and he cut the mic. So, Mike, don't send him a gun. I'm going to get you. Don't cut my mic. But, no, I have $14 cash. No problem for you, my friend. No, it's in the waist bag. It's ready to go. When you are an experienced monitor like the Lance Bully with super top talent like the Warthog you know, people like that. Hey, you know, he's not messing around, man. So I just want to make sure, because Kayam, you never know with this guy. He knows everybody. He knows the malignos and people like that. I don't know what's going to happen. So I just have to have somebody watch the back. No problem. I give Kayam the beating of the life. He says, oh.
Well, if you just need me to stand there, I mean, I can just stand there. That's fine.
I accept the challenge. I want to see you try that, man. Try that beating you're talking about. Try it.
In the words of the famous Mr. T from the movie Rocky III, I'm going to give you this quote, okay? I reject the challenge because Kayam is no challenge. But I will be more than happy to beat up on him some more. There you go right there, my friend.
Oh, wow.
Original.
I ready for you, man. I ready for you. I have so much respect for the Chivos, and then they come and do something. He know, buy me the steaks at the meat and vino. I asked, you know, you want to split the bottle of un tazo de vino? He say, no, I'm not going to drink nothing with nobody. So for that, you're going to have to pay, my friend. I sorry, Mike. Don't cut my mic, but go ahead and get those words from Kayam.
I'm not cutting your mic. Kayam, I think you left before all chaos broke between AJ and Lance. So I don't think you saw when Lance got under AJ's skin and AJ threw water in his face. You didn't see that, did you?
Well, I know that it was a pretty heated afternoon, you know, and it started with this Rudo Ram guy, and then AJ gets all worked up, and this guy gets me all worked up, and things get out. I mean, we're in a very violent sport, you know, where emotions get the best of us many a time, and you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be. We're not playing golf over here. It's a contact sport, and so emotions run high. And so AJ went off. I went off. This Rudo Ram, they're a nut. He'll drive anybody crazy. He's even driving you crazy.
Miguel, let me tell you something, okay? Let me tell you one thing, okay? I'm going to send you the pictures, okay? The one and only time that the Rudo Ram it was at the Puerto Escondido. It was myself, it was Vito Fortelli, it was El Hijo de Abisma Negro, I can't remember, Black Abyss was there, Enigma, and ¿cómo se llama este de la mujer luchadora? ¿Cómo se llama este de la muchacha, de mujer luchadora? ¿Cómo se llama, Kayam?
Lady Centilla.
So she bring the father. Okay, no problem. You know, we everybody have a good time, and the Chivos have two big kawamas of the Virongas, and we everybody have a good time. So we say, hey, you know, let's take the picture. You know, come on, Rudo Ram, you send him a bitch. Okay, come on. So we go to take the picture. I go to get up, and the table flip it, and the cacahuates and the elote and the chicharrones, everything go flying all over the place. I say, hey, what the hell happened, man? Oh, you know, you mess everything, everybody. So he get mad at me, but it's not my fault. It's not my fault because I don't have nothing
not
to base. So everything go free. But you
don't
buy nothing for nobody. No. I say, hey, you know, get the chicharrones for him. He, you know, and I'm not going to buy nothing for nobody, man. ¿Verdad? Esta es la verdad, que no.
You should have compensated for Moctezuma, man. What's wrong with you?
Okay. The next time we go to Puerto Escondido, not only am I going to buy the cacahuates and the chicharrones, I'm going to buy the kawamas. One for you, one for Enigma, because you can't get the kawamas because they only Enigma and Kayam only drink one, and they hammered. They're a hammered. So you have to be careful, my friend.
Well,
maybe I am. Knock it over your head. I won't drink it. Knock it over your head.
Be prepared, my friend, because you're going to die. I'm sorry.
Wow, those are heavy words.
What a character this guy.
Exactly. Brother, we appreciate you taking the time out tonight to come and talk to us about Saturday.
Hey, usted necesita hablar en español para toda la gente mexicano aquí. Speaking
claro,
Spanish for the Spanish people.
No me tienes que decir tú qué hacer, ¿ok? Yo lo iba a hacer ahorita, dame permiso. Hey. Un saludo a toda la afición de Lucha Libre, Habla Hispana, tu amigo, tu hermano, el Chivo Cayán. Estaremos con PWA, el viernes 18 de agosto en la ciudad de Stanton. Me parece que es a las 8 de la noche a la función. Los invitamos, mis amigos. Vamos a estar ahí echándole ganas. Voy en contra de un tal Rudo Ram. ¿Ya? ¿Cómo habla este caballero, ok? Habla mucho, too much talk. Y pues como lo hemos hecho con otros habladores, arriba del ring, ¿verdad? Arriba del ring es como se solucionan los problemas. No los dimes y te diretes aquí sobre el teléfono, aquí o allá. No, dentro del encordado, ahí me voy a encontrar con Rudo Ram. Apóyenme, por favor, para poner a este caballero en su lugar y posiblemente hacer lo que se retire de lo nuestro, que es la lucha libre. ¡Viva México! ¡Viva la Virgen de Guadalupe! Acompáñenos, por favor, viernes 18, parece que es a las 8 de la noche, en Stanton PWA. Muchas gracias. Thank you very much, Mike.
Hey, I appreciate it. We appreciate it. And you have a wonderful night, man.
Okay, my
brother.
Thank
you, Kayam. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kayam. He's on the card.
Thank you so long, folks.
August.
Love you. Very
good night.
Okay, we get him to check out here.
August 18th.
He leaped.
You know. You know what?
He's gone. He's done.
Hey,
man,
hey,
no matter what he says, it's just going to be us. And I got Azriel in my corner. If we can bring Lance Bully just to keep an eye out, it's going to be death and destruction.
You know what? Wait, hold on a minute. Bully, what happened to you? Because you were talking mad crazy before we got Kayam on the phone. You know, all of a sudden you acted like you weren't talking bad about him. What
hey,
games
you know,
are you trying to play here, brother?
I'm just respecting my elders. I know that man is part of this, so I don't have to repeat myself too many
wow.
times. And my mom told me to treat older people with respect, and he's obviously older. So I just, you know, let him talk, and I pretend like I don't know Spanish, and it works easy that way. Let me stop right here. Kayam, I will give him his flowers. He is an old man in terms of age and experience, right? Like, he knows stuff, right?
Right.
So he said things. I already wrote it down. I wrote it down. This is a quote that he said. You can look back on the podcast 5 minutes ago. He said, this is a contact sport full of emotion between strong men, right?
Right.
That's what he said. So when I tell AJ Mana that he has too much emotion going into the match, or I tell him that he has testosterone levels that are going to shoot him through the roof, how is that offensive? How is that a reason for him to get mad at me when I'm complimenting the man on having the strength, the muscles, and the emotions to go through this battle? He considered that weak points. That's what he got upset about. But Kayam, as we just heard, a man of many ages, of many experiences, just defined professional wrestling as direct contact sport between two men in an emotional state of mind. So, what I said wasn't wrong, but what AJ Mana did to me was, and that's a proof point right there from a man that I don't agree with. He said exactly what needed to be said.
Well, you know what? Not to, because AJ is not here to defend himself. But,
of course.
You know, you trying to be all nice to him, and he told you. Where's that Lance from last Tuesday night? The one that was talking all crazy on the phone.
He was there.
That's the Lance. That's the Lance he wanted. And if I came out, because you know, go ahead.
No, keep going. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying you had some heated words for him last Tuesday night. You know, telling him that he didn't deserve the title and this and that, and it wouldn't have happened if you were there, and yada yada yada. And you know, now you guys are sitting next to each other, and I get it. You were trying to have a cordial interview, but you didn't already said what you said to the man.
You
okay,
know,
so let me put it to you this way.
Wait. You want to knock your teeth down your throat.
And that is why you can't talk to certain people, because some people have so much emotion that you say the wrong word and all of a sudden a grown man reverts back to a teenage-like child mind where I insult you so you have to hit me. That's a very big distinction. That's why I keep certain people at arm's length, because people can't handle me. I'm sorry. And let me reclaim this. For the last 5 years, I'm not a wrestler. I'm not a fighter. I'm not a shoot MMA guy. I'm a guy who talks facts. I'm a guy who speaks off experience. I'm a guy who speaks off of knowledge. I don't talk out of my butt cheeks, okay? So if I say something, it's most likely a fact. I most likely got it from somewhere. I didn't pull it out of the air. And if that makes you mad enough to strike me, assault me, or even threaten that, that's why I have to keep. That's why I have to change lanes when I'm around certain people. Some people can't have adult conversations because as soon as their little feelings hurt, the little Samoan hothead gets angry and wants to rip my head off, knock my teeth out, like you said. Now tell me, is that the safest business to conduct for someone who's working under PWA as I, to talk to this man, get assaulted, and now it's a liability on your company? I'm looking out for you, Michael, as much as I'm looking out for my own mental health and my physical well-being. If there was someone who could have a legitimate discussion and who could hear the downfalls and the flaws that they have without reacting violently, I would talk to anybody for you, man. I'd be the Barbara Walters of wrestling right now. But the problem is a lot of wrestlers, they claim to be tough, strong-willed, hard-minded, but as soon as you bring up testosterone or you say you look good in your wrestling outfit, you're supposed to look good in your damn wrestling outfit. I tell him he looks good in his outfit, he wants to call out a shrug at him or an attack on him. I tell him that you need all that muscle you need to go against Warhawk, he takes that as an offense. So what, do you want me to call you a skinny little girl covered up with no gear on? What do you want me to say? I tell him your gear looks good, that's an insult. I tell him you got high levels of testosterone, that's what's needed to take on fights, that's too much for him. What do you want me to say that's going to placate a man who has no common sense, who has no apparent stoppage of, oh, that's actually a compliment, or, oh, that's actually a fact. But instead, he wants to think I'm attacking him. And even in front of a live studio audience of the six people that came by, the Jehovah's Witnesses, in front of the butcher, in front of everybody, I stood there and had a polite conversation, and he still took it way too far than he needed to be. Can we agree on that?
You know what? I'm thinking to myself.
Can I just... Please, can I make a quick disclaimer, okay, since we're on the blog talk. The opinions of the Lance Winters does not reflect the management of the PWA nor the Scoop Slam Radio. Okay, thank you.
Exactly.
Why does every podcast tomorrow tell me that? Why does every podcast have
because
a disclaimer
you're crazy,
for me,
man. You're too much crazy.
I knew you were a loose cannon, but damn, bully. I mean, you're going off.
He pushed the buttons.
I see. Lord have mercy. You need another Dusty Rhodes moment.
Miguel, you want to go to one? You want to go to one message before the Guerrero Nuclear call? Okay, there's a few, but this one I want to go real quick because, you know, we only have a little bit before Guerrero calls. But it make a lot of sense, my friend. Cena is GOAT, G-O-A-T, Cena is GOAT. I don't know what that means. At gmail.com says, why is it that people have to take the fall? In example, Trent Barrera, Wheeler Jura, Ishad Gable.
Why do some people have to take the fall?
They say why they have to take the three count all the time. They always put it over everybody when they bury a talented. Trent Barrera, Wheeler Jura, Ishaq Abel.
You want to go first, Mike, or you want me to jump on it?
Well, I'll go first because me and my other buddy, Father, we always have this conversation about Chad Gable, and I get frustrated. I really do. In fact, even though I shouldn't, I feel sorry for him because I feel he's not being used correctly in the WWE. He is their second coming of Kurt Angle, and they're just letting him, you know, job for people, and it's not even funny. I was hoping that they would, you know, he would have a match with Gunter, because I think that would be one hell of a match. You know, if they let him do what he does.
I seen it yesterday, and it was a good match, but I knew he not going to go over, my friend.
Exactly. and it's just like, it's just, man, come on. Is he now just a comedy act for the WWE, and his skills are just going to pretty much take the back seat to all the BS that he's having to go through? Because it's frustrating.
When you say that, it make a lot of sense. The Trent Barrera take a lot of three count, man. He always put everybody over in the Wheel of Judah. Es lo mismo es, you know, it's the same. He always everybody put everybody over, you know.
Yes, he's the Combat Club pinner, or the one who gets pinned in the Combat Club, just like Trent Barrera is the cool kids who get pinned. And I guess the same with the Max and Male models. Now you got Chad Gable taking the L, but is it really a loss? I know you guys are upset. I know you guys, or at least Mr. Parks is upset because he wants him to be utilized better. But what better utilization than to be enhancing talent? To be making the people that are better than you better, while at the same time, a big part of a jobber that nobody understands, I think a jobber is really important because not only are they the ones that get the talent over, but they're the ones who get the talent over safely. You don't have rookie jobbers, if you've noticed that. Jobbers are people who have been distinguished in the business, people who have honed their craft, at least in the WWE sense, since we're talking about WWE in the big sphere. We're not talking about the indies. That's a whole other can of worms. But in the WWE sphere, when there's people that don't get pushed in a certain way, like the way you like, and they end up jobbing out, like, for example, you can even go back to Scotty Duhati back in the earlier days. He was an entertaining guy, just like American Alpha was entertaining when he had his partner. But you know what? As times change and factions move on, you got to realize your place is less about yourself and more about putting younger people over. You look over at Scotty Tuhati now, this man's a trainer at WWE, and I think he moved over to AEW now. So
yes,
that's what I think is very underutilized. Like, you swear, like, you think John Cena's ever going to impart his wisdom on somebody and job out every week? No. But the people that are talented, the people that are entertaining, you got to remember, that's the E in WWE, is entertainment. So, yeah, maybe Gable is now a comedy act. Maybe he's not taking it serious. But you know damn well if the time needed to, he would step up and put on a banger of a match, even if he didn't go over.
Yes.
That's a good point.
In my opinion, the way I see it is not, like, jobbers can't just be anybody. You have to have a certain skill. You have to have a certain mindset to know, like, hey, I'm not going to be the next Roman Reigns, but I'm going to help develop somebody else be the next whatever. It's more giving back than taking from the business, and that's something that I don't think a lot of people really understand or appreciate as much as I do.
Hold on.
Because it is, and now, it is a smack in the face to call Chad Gable a jobber, and because let's be honest, let's be very real about this. He can wrestle circles around just about everybody on that damn main roster.
What's his win rate in the last 3 years?
Those are facts.
No, those are opinions. Those are feelings.
No. Those are facts.
The facts are what the scorecard says. What's his record the last 3 years? That's the facts.
The fact that he's not 6'3", 6'4", the big guys that the WWE always wants.
Chris Benoit, Rey Mysterio. There's been exceptions.
Eddie Guerrero.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say his name. I know. Eddie Guerrero, you know, like, don't give me that.
Team Malenko.
And he could be the same way. They're just not pushing small guys like that anymore. And it sucks. No, never. Never.
Hey, but real quick, I sent a message to the Venom Guerrero Nuclear to call in or whatever. So, but ¿cómo se llama, Mike, the guy who wrestles in the AEW? And he used to go 10. ¿Cómo se llama este hombre?
Yeah.
He used to beat up the Cody Rhodes. What's his name?
Oh, my God.
Lance?
What is his name?
But, oh, I know you're talking about Ty Dillinger.
Yes. See, Jude, son of a gun, you very smart. When the Shinsuke Nakamura come from the Japan, you know, they go to NXT, you know, hey, man, you know, we are very happy to have you. Who you want to work, you know, in the first? And that's who he said. He said, I want to work this guy because this guy know what he's doing. He's safe. I know, you know, injuries are going to happen, but with this guy, I don't have to worry. I know I'm going to have a good match. So it make the sense what Lance said, you know?
No, but you guys can have your opinion.
So you don't think Sean Spears blew up after WWE, even though Sean Spears, well, he's Sean Spears in AEW. When he was Ty Dillinger in WWE and he was dropping out, you didn't think that propelled his journey when he went to AEW, when he went to New Japan and redeveloped his character? You don't think that happened at all? You don't think that the years of jobbing under the WWE and the training center, that didn't help him get over?
Because
it did for a while until his flavor wore out. Okay. We can disagree, but guess what? I'm not going to hit you and throw water on your head.
No.
But we can disagree. That's fine.
I think people got pissed off at the way he was being used. That's what I think. That
he's
undervalued.
There's no denying he's a good worker. You just have to get the right thing for him, my friend.
Let me say the same for another example of someone who jobbed out and now they're growing up bigger than ever.
He had to get out of the WWE because that's all they were going to do to him, is job him out. And so he said, I want my release.
Yes.
I want to get out of here.
But Mr. Parks, are you going to tell me that in WWE, there should be no jobbers at all whatsoever then, if that's your point? If you're saying that they didn't go up until after they left WWE and they were only jobbers in WWE, are you saying there should not be any jobbers in WWE? I'd love to see the dichotomy of that in about 3 years.
Well, they used to use enhancement talent. I mean, they started going back to it, but they weren't taking guys that were prominent in NXT and brought up to the main roster, and then all of a sudden jobbing them out and that allowing them to expand their character. You just job them out.
Yes, I mean,
regardless of jobbing out and regardless of the public perception of being jobbed out, you have to think, if they're going from NXT to WWE, not only are they getting a higher salary, a higher payroll, but aren't they also getting like a lot more amenities, like more time in the training center, more time in the performance center, even time in the training and performance center with higher caliber level of wrestlers? You don't think that's an advantage of being a jobber? Like, it pays its own way, and then once you're out of the business, like you said, you can get bigger elsewhere.
Hell no.
Real quick, Mike. Venom Guerrero Nuclear needs a couple of minutes or whatever. Let's take a quick break. I'm going to put this vignette, even though this was from the last PWHO, even though Mike has a whole bunch, he hasn't put them out yet. So I'm going to play this one. It's only 44 seconds, and then we come back, and we're going to call Venom Guerrero Nuclear on the air. Okay, hold on, everybody. Here we go. When my partner was Vulcan Jr., and it was a good show, man. So for the people listening, you got to come to the next one. Mike, you want me to call Venom on the air and see if he's going to pick up?
Yeah, please.
As I do
Glad
that,
can you please
give me your ¿cómo se dice? Perspective on the last video I played for you? Because we say, you know, we're going to take everybody in the chino. He no can see nothing. They hit in the pipiripis and everything, and he no see nothing, man. Is okay. Was it his first day? I don't know what happened. Tell me what happened.
Hey,
you were there.
You know, it was your match. I think Biggie Biggs took everything out of you, man. Biggie Biggs put all of his strength, put all his weight on you. I think you were tired. You were tired, brother.
when you are wrestling, a wrestler that weighs in excess of 445 pounds, to give you the splash from the second rope, it takes everything you have not to lose everybody and break the ribs. But hey, it's okay. We're gonna come back.
I thought you crapped your pants, man. When he came down on you, I thought you crapped yourself. I was like, uh-oh.
No, you just heard a little burp, pipe, and then we go to the back. All right, let's.
Is this the Venom Nuclear, the Warrior? Is this one speaking to you right now? Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone right now, we have the other half of our main event on August 18th. He is the epitome of a rush to your system. This is Venom Guerrero, the Warrior. How you doing tonight, brother?
Live and in audio. I can't say visual, but live and in audio, yeah.